Daily Double Dungeon Radio Show. Double Dungeon Radio Show. It's Double Dungeon. It's Wednesday, April 15th. Tax day. Did you remember to pay your taxes?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
What?
You didn't pay your taxes.
We already filed.
Oh.
Well, together.
Anyway, it got extended, so it doesn't matter anyway. Adi?
Yeah?
I have the phrase of the day.
I forgot how this works.
It's not the regular show. We do different stuff. I'm going to get to what we cooked for dinner, but the phrase of the day is chicken tonight.
Ragu introduces Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces, and suddenly everybody's saying, I
feel like I've been thinking a lot about this commercial.
Why?
I have no idea.
From four new sauces. Each one's made with real vegetables and herbs, so you can make dishes like country French chicken and
Ooh.
Chicken cacciatore.
Ooh.
Wow.
Chicken, simmer, and serve. I feel like chicken tonight, like chicken tonight. New Chicken Tonight Simmer Sauces from Ragu. Chicken
tonight. How much brain processing power do you think saving that entire commercial into my brain is taking up? Like,
I don't know.
There's more.
Maybe you don't want to think about it too much.
I don't know. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was convinced. I was like, oh man, chicken tonight. That's got to be great. I wish my mom would make chicken tonight. And now I'm an adult and I'm like, it's chicken cacciatore. It's ragu sauce.
Yeah.
But it's chicken cacciatore, which is like its own. It's basically like pasta sauce, but chicken cacciatore has its own ingredients specifically. And then you brown your chicken and then dump it.
And this appealed to you.
I was sold by the advertising.
Oh, wow.
and now I'm like tonight, we'll get to it later, but I basically did, what's it called when you put the chicken in the bag and you shake it? Shake and bake.
No idea.
I basically, that's what I did, except not in a bag and just, that's a cooking technique. I really thought shake and bake would be amazing too.
So I mean, you've gotten past this,
I'm past it. I'm past it. All right, let's get on. Let's talk about some Corona. I got our grocery store update. I went for a long walk.
Oh yeah.
With no intention of going to the grocery store. But I went all the way down to where Whole Foods is, which is from our house, like, what is that? Half a mile? Something like that, maybe? I don't know.
Sure.
Something like that. And I walked all the way down there.
A little more.
And then the line was down again past the entryway, so that's like maybe 50 people online, 40 people online, something like that. And I also walked by Shake Shack, which was weirdly busy and not busy at the same time. There were a ton of people moving around inside and people were coming to pick up their orders one by one, but at no point were people like crossing over each. It was very interesting. You could tell they had probably 15 orders lined up ready to go too, so they must have been busy for lunch.
Yeah.
I also saw a girl eating Popeyes, which I don't know where the nearest Popeyes is. I have no idea.
Like by the
Bushwick?
I was about to say by the bridge. I don't know.
Yeah, far. I don't know. And
what else did I see? Where? How?
I just walked over. There's a grocery store that we don't go to that's over by the condos by the river. And I went to that grocery store just to see what it was like. Completely stocked. Oh, so there was 50 people in line over at Whole Foods, which is less than 3 blocks away
from
this
grocery
store. Oh,
you went to the other supermarket. Okay.
Yeah. And I just went to go see how it was looking. There was a ton of staff working stocking, but it was completely empty. There was like nobody in there.
Oh, wow.
So
maybe those people are on vacation.
Well, again, though, what's weird is, it's less than 3 blocks from Whole Foods, and it's not like it's an expensive grocery. I don't know. Whatever. People like Whole Foods, I guess. While I was out, I had my new mandatory face covering on because Cuomo decided that it is mandatory now, as did de Blasio.
It's time.
And actually, I didn't hear it until after I got home, but we're not required to wear face coverings until after Friday. So I'm going to go without my mask tomorrow. Mm. And they said that you need a face covering if you are in any situation that you cannot socially distance or you are in a grocery store. So if you're on the bus or train, you need to have a handkerchief on, I guess.
You need something that covers your nose and your mouth.
Yeah, which we see people all the time not wearing a mask over their nose, number one.
Yeah, just their mouth.
Number two, I have been frustrated because where was this months ago, a month and a half ago, when we actually could have made a difference wearing a mask? Now we're on the downside of the curve.
Hopefully.
And it's just like, I don't know. It makes me angry that they are, number one, so far behind, and number two, they're instituting this policy. I don't think they're doing it to actually prevent infection of any kind. I think that they are doing it to make people feel better about going out and about and feel like they're doing something now. It's busy work. That's my opinion. I just think they're doing busy work now. Trying to make people feel like they're having an effect. I don't know.
They're probably just singing, like, can't hurt.
Yeah. Well, the thing that made me particularly angry was in the press conference, Cuomo said, we're not going to be issuing fines for people not wearing a mask. He said, but, you know, as New Yorkers, if you see somebody not wearing a mask, you tell them, hey, you can't get me sick. That's not your right. And I was like, what?
So start fights.
So, yeah, and assume that literally everyone has this virus, which I don't know. There's so many things that are inconsistent with this. It's like nobody knows what's going on, which I understand it's something new, but also there's so much conflicting information. It's very frustrating. Depending on how the job numbers play out tomorrow, I just realized we could be within striking distance of having lost every job that was, and I'm making air quotes, created since the end of the Great Recession in 2000, whenever they considered it the end, 2010. When did they consider it the end? I don't know. But yeah, so if we get, they're estimating 5 million new filings tomorrow, which they underestimated last week as well.
Right.
If we get 5 million tomorrow, that will put us just 1.8 million shy of the 24.8 million jobs that we created since the last recession, and we'll have lost it all. So.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah. And I've been saying, I called at home and I was talking to Mama and I was telling her that I've been saying for, 3 years now that there's a recession coming, and then they dump it. And they dump all the bad news into it at once. And it's, as much as they want to say that this is all because of coronavirus, it's not. We've said that before too. So whatever. You're contagious. The New York City death toll soared today. I don't know if you heard. It had a huge jump.
What, really?
Because they added 3,700 people who they said they're just going to consider those as coronavirus deaths, even though they didn't have any test. It was mostly nursing home people who died. But
oh gosh,
it seems a little imprecise. I don't know.
They'll reevaluate later or
no?
What?
That's it.
No, they're just calling it.
They're calling it. Yeah. So
even though they could have had any number of people die from other causes. Yeah, and
whenever there's anything major like this, like, just think about nursing homes right now. If people are calling out, nursing homes are run on a shoestring budget as is.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that the workers there, somebody comes down with coronavirus. I am sure that they are taking the day off, and because they care about their people that they're caring for and don't want to get them sick. And then think of how, like, those nursing homes that we used to see when we would go visit your mom.
Yeah.
They're not gonna bring in a new person to replace that person. They're gonna just make somebody do twice the work. And then if somebody were to die of something that is not related to coronavirus, now they're gonna just classify it as coronavirus. Due to being short-staffed is what I'm saying. So
it is indirectly correct, but it's not directly right.
It's indirectly correct. Yeah, exactly. So. I don't know. I'm not very happy with that classification, but whatever. I guess they can do whatever they want, so. Let's talk about politics. So, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah. What about her? What's she up to?
Nothing good. Well, she endorsed Joe Biden today. That's the news.
Oh, right. I heard that and ignored it.
She rushed out after Obama endorsed him, too. Me Too endorse.
That's nice.
Not hashtag Me Too, just Me Too. She was being a Me Too-er.
Me as well.
Yeah. Me as weller. And she rushed out and endorsed him today. And if you know anything, and this is part of the problem with politics and people who try to assert political... Sorry, I'm trying to think of arguments. Is that if you know anything about history, Elizabeth Warren endorsing Joe Biden is a sad state of affairs, number one. And number two, it proves to me that she has no center to her beliefs. And she's willing to do... She's got great aspirations right now. I think she thinks that she will be running in 2024.
Hmm.
As, you know, if not the candidate, she'll be a very good consideration.
Contender.
She's just playing ball right now. And it's very disappointing to see, as somebody that during Occupy Wall Street, she was such a strong advocate for the families that were going bankrupt. And if you know anything about that time in that time in history, one of the most, I would say, aggressive people in calling her out was Joe Biden. And they have longstanding feud that for her to come out and endorse Joe Biden and say that he's going to rebuild America is just depressing. And I pulled a clip, just it's a little bit long, actually, but whatever, we're going to listen to it.
All right.
This is Joe Biden questioning Elizabeth Warren. And what they're discussing is Elizabeth Warren was advocating for people to be able to go into bankruptcy without these protections that Joe Biden was trying to install. And for a little more context, Joe Biden, from the 80s until this moment, received his number two largest contributor to his campaign was credit card companies, he advocated very strongly that people shouldn't be able to get out of their credit card debt very easily. Joe Biden also is the one who helped architect the bill that made it impossible to disperse student loan debt through bankruptcy. So if you are a student and you go bankrupt,
he had something you still to do have, with it?
Yes, he was an architect of that. And what you're going to hear in this is who the true Joe Biden is. Number one, how are you going to pay for that? He even says that, I believe, in the clip. That's his philosophy, is anybody who's trying to do anything to help people who are in great need financially, how are you going to pay for that? And then he's coming to the advocate to advocate for credit card companies, saying, why should they be on the hook just because you have no money? So here we go. Here's a clip.
You're saying the creditors should be the ones to buy on to that philosophically enshrined in a piece of legislation obligation. That's my question.
Senator, I think you're exactly right. And that is that we need fewer families to need to turn to the bankruptcy system. We have a broken healthcare finance system in the United States.
Right.
And all I can do is point out that it is bankrupting families.
Absolutely right.
Until we fix the broken healthcare finance system,
right,
those families have to turn somewhere. And that means now they turn as a last-ditch effort to the bankruptcy court.
And that means they turn to asking the people that they borrowed money from to pay for their healthcare cost, right?
Senator, the cost...
Isn't that literally correct?
It is literally correct.
Thank
that
you.
The cost... of a broken healthcare system are born throughout the economy.
We are asking, and I may be ready to do this. We're going to ask the gas company, the drugstore, the automobile dealer to pay for the broken system instead of having the nerve to come and say it's a moral obligation of a nation to pay for that broken system. Why should it be someone who sits there living in a $2 million home for whom it lent no money to that person? Why do they not have an obligation to pay for that instead of the guy who owns the drugstore at the corner pay for that? That's my only point. Let's just be honest what we're doing here. And it may make sense, and I might add for the record, I'd like to put in the record a Forbes article, and I'd like to ask you whether it's an accurate quote, Professor. They quote you in an article entitled "Everybody Knows It's Credit" in Forbes magazine, saying, quote, "The lobbyists are going to be the only ones who really profit, scoffs Elizabeth Warren, Harvard Law professor. I think you're dead right, because it points out in here, as you point out, the one we have to find new boogeymen. The one people aren't going to benefit under this are the credit card companies, as you point out in here. I submit this to the for the record. I'd invite any response in writing from anyone who'd like to respond to the article. We'll make it available to you, okay? But I just think we should be honest about this thing, and you know, we're making a gas company, which I don't like the gas company. I don't like many companies, but anyway, pay is you know, we just ought to acknowledge.
Oops, that was a bad clip at the end. Anyway,
It's over.
That's it. So you can hear him even advocating that rather than the companies that are lending the money being on the hook if somebody declares bankruptcy, we as a nation need to step in and transfer wealth, which is exactly what they did in 2008, which he again assisted with when we had all those subprime mortgages failing, which were mortgages that they shouldn't have put out in the first place. And again, what they were doing with those subprime mortgages was a type of gambling on behalf of the lenders. They were gambling on that, thinking, oh, we're going to get this house and we're going to get the money from them, which is what they basically got because of the bailout. It's very frustrating, is the point. And also, one last thing, you can hear that Joe Biden used to be able to talk in complete sentences, which is
incredible. Yeah. So that was for a good chunk of time right there.
Yeah, he didn't flub once. So anybody that's telling you that he has always been like that, he's always said stupid things. That's accurate. But for him not to be able to make it through a sentence is not something that he has always done. You're contagious. This is my favorite story of the entire week. News came out that apparently a couple months ago, Trump floated in front of a White House committee the idea that he wanted to do a two-hour-a-day radio show where he's talking directly to the American people.
I didn't realize it was supposed to be 2 hours.
It was supposed to be 2 hours long. And so there is precedent for this. In if you look at something like the fireside chats with FDR, where the president uses radio to talk directly to the people. I believe a lot of the recent presidents have had weekly radio addresses. Not as big, obviously, or listened to. But a two-hour call-in, you know that he would fill it completely full. I kind of wish that they had done it. Because you know they would fill it completely full of plants. All of the callers would have been plants. He would have completely produced. It would be a totally produced package.
Yeah.
I'm picturing like a morning zoo style show with like the radio effects. And it's like weather on the tens back with, you know, and then leading into, you know, oh man, it would have been great. It would have been such a good show. Well, so
I mean, don't let the hope die.
Yeah.
Kids still do it.
if there's one thing he knows how to do, though, it is acted up for media. Yeah. So it would have been, horrible, but it would have been entertaining.
Yes, he has two free empty hours a day, apparently.
Yeah, that's the other thing is, and it's not just 2 hours a day. If you're producing a radio show of any kind, even if all you're doing is showing up and answering questions and reading off the daily. Like, how long do you think he spends just prepping the daily speech for the coronavirus?
He's got nothing else to do?
Yeah, he's got nothing to do. So, we missed out. That's all I got to say. We're missing out. Daily Double. So, Stacey Abrams floated herself as Joe Biden's vice president. I don't know if you know who she is, but she ran for the governorship and did not win. And for some reason, every media outlet was obsessed with her running in the presidential campaign.
Yeah, they really were for a while.
And now that she did not run in that, every media outlet is obsessed with her running as vice president, even though she keeps having to like insert herself into the conversation and the media is happy to run with it. So it's very interesting.
What's this about?
I have no idea. I don't know what's up with her. Except that obviously the media wants people talking about her and excited about her. I have no idea. I haven't figured it out yet.
Is she an exciting person to have in that national stage, I guess?
Maybe.
I mean, I only know little bit about her.
Yeah, and I've only seen a few interviews with her, and she was fine. She wasn't, I don't know. I don't get it. So we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah.
Could be anything.
I definitely want to hear what she has to say.
I'm going to have to look into it. It's very bizarre how obsessed the media is with interviewing and talking. She's been panelist on a ton of shows. Like, they love yeah. her. So
I wonder who,
I don't know,
is going to be a pick. Oh. If it's her or someone else.
I wonder if Biden will be picking a vice president.
Okay.
So Trump announced the Great American Economic Revival Industry Group, which is some kind of a White House.
What does that mean?
It's some kind of a White House advisory board that's going to advise on how to get America up and running again.
So it's going to be his daughter and his son-in-law.
Yeah, they're already on it.
Great.
I like that you just guessed and you got two of the people who are on it already.
That's so sad.
And Mnuchin and just basically all these lackeys that hang around the White House all day are going
to
be on.
They also don't have anything else to do in their current roles?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they get to define their own roles.
That's great.
Anyway, so they announced that the 16 major sport league owners are going to be on it, including Vince McMahon.
I mean, unacceptable unless XFL is coming back.
We'll get to that in a second.
Oh.
I want to say that if Vince McMahon is on the Great American Economic Revival Industry Group as an advisor, I fully expect to die at work and have him run into the workplace and tell everybody to just keep going on with the workday.
Didn't he just furlough some it,
which is something
wrestlers?
That he actually did. Which is terrible. He's a terrible human being. And yes, they just basically let a bunch of wrestlers go because they were basically people that they had on staff just so that they couldn't go work anywhere else.
Oh.
They weren't wrestlers that were wrestling.
Yeah.
They were just there so that nobody else could have them. If you don't know anything about wrestling, Vince McMahon is the worst. They are all independent contractors and have no health insurance of any kind. And risk great bodily harm on a constant basis and work way too much. And the entire thing is terrible. Vince McMahon is not a nice guy. Oh, also, about the XFL.
Okay.
I just heard this on the rate on 1010 Wins.
What happened?
One of the greatest sources of information of all time.
Yeah.
They said that the XFL, if you were a fan who had tickets to the XFL and it got canceled.
Yeah.
You can't request a refund of those tickets yet. Because a judge just put a stay on any refunds, and the league's creditors will be allowed to weigh in as to whether they should be allowed to issue refunds or not. I wonder what
that
the
makes
league's,
no sense.
I wonder what the league's creditors are going to say. Of course, they don't want to give any refunds. So
what else are people supposed to do especially if it's not coming back? You can't get
know.
It for take it the next season.
It's the whole thing's a scam.
Is that even legal?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Well, this is a story we're gonna have to have an XFL regular XFL segment for this.
All right. You're contagious.
So after initial reports that Donald Trump wanted his name signed on every stimulus check,
yeah,
and then he came out saying, "No, I never said that." His name is in fact on the stimulus check, which goes against Treasury policy. He doesn't work for the Treasury. He has nothing. Only people who are working for there, and they say that in the past, anytime checks have gone out, even under Bush, they weren't allowed to put anybody who was one of the two political parties on there because they wanted to remain neutral. So why did they roll over and let him put his name on
this? It's all over now. Everything's broken.
It's hilarious. And I just want to know if this is going to run afoul of any kind of regulations regarding election bribery, basically. Not bribery, but...
Oh,
any kind of contribution. I'm wondering if maybe they rolled over and let him do it just because he's running afoul of something and they're going to bring it up later. Because there are election laws that have to do with that kind of, I don't know. It's interesting. We'll see.
Definitely look it up.
If you are an election law expert, we need to hear from you. And we will hear from you in the next segment. Adi.
Hi.
If people want to give us a call, if you are a legal expert.
Oh, call us.
You can give us a call. Our phone number, as always, is... We received two calls today from our very special caller.
Oh, who?
She will introduce herself.
Hello, this is Sophie. And, I have a whistleblower, and that is a candy, which is a whistleblower, and it's fun, but I don't know how to play it.
It's a candy? Oh, a candy whistle. It's probably like the Mexican slide whistle candy.
And I ate some of it, and Mama did it. Mama tried to do it, but I ate.
Oop. I don't know if that was the end or if it cut off there. She called back almost immediately, so we have a second. She's going to talk about Animal Crossing, which we are also going to talk about in a moment.
Hello, this is Opie, and I have one more thing to say. I've been playing Animal Crossing, and now there's a museum, but there used to be a tent for owl, which was, that I play it 2 times a day, and I don't play too long. I play a few minutes long, and, which I like it very much because I can play it 2 times a day, in the evening and in the morning. Every morning I wake up, go to school, sometimes I do new phonics with Emma Meg, and
phonics.
After that, sometimes then I play Animal Crossing right away, but today I went around the block and came back around.
This is some quarantine update.
And that's the end of the story. Bye.
So, as you can see, she's been keeping busy. Apparently, she loves playing Animal Crossing. They got Lego Star Wars as well for the Switch, but she likes Animal Crossing better. And we are going to talk about Animal Crossing because there's a news article about it. You're contagious. So, the Atlantic ran an article today about Animal Crossing, and they were talking about quarantine and how it's kind of, Animal Crossing has become a major part of a lot of people's quarantine.
Really?
Yeah. We talked about how hard it was for me to find this Switch for Izzy, because so many people are buying it to play Animal Crossing specifically. Animal Crossing, for people who don't know, is a game where it's somewhat like The Sims, where you're controlling things that are going on, but you are a character, and you run around, and mostly you get a loan as soon as you come to the town, and then you owe money on the loan, and you pay off the loan by running around errands and catching bugs.
I get stressed out just thinking about that.
But this is the thing, is like in the Animal Crossing that I'm playing for the GameCube, you don't have to do any of that. And Tom Nook is not going to come break your legs if you don't pay off your loan.
Does he in other versions?
In the new one, well, this is what I didn't know, and I found out from reading the new article in The Atlantic. In the new one, you have to craft stuff. So, for example, in my game, I finally got the fishing rod.
Yeah.
I need to announce this. We had people waiting.
Oh, yeah.
I finally got the fishing rod. Woo! It showed up yesterday. It took a week and, like, 3 days to show up, which is way too long. It should have been there, like, in the first day or two.
Finally got it.
I immediately went and caught 3 red snappers, which is, like, the second most expensive fish. So, there you go.
Okay.
It paid off. Again, in my game, I can fish. And the fishing rod never breaks. The only tool that breaks is the axe. And if I need a new axe, all I do is I go and buy one from Tom Nook, who is the store runner. In the new version, you have to collect rocks and sticks and stuff to assemble axes. And then and fishing rods and all this. And then they break after like a dozen uses. And you have to collect up stuff again and assemble it again. So there's a lot more busy work. You can't just sit and enjoy yourself quite as much.
Yeah.
And secondly, Tom Nook, in your first day or whatever, gives you a cell phone, and the cell phone suggests tasks for you to do constantly. Whereas in my game, you only have a task if you ask somebody for a task.
I feel like you shouldn't buy the new version.
I don't think I really want to. I have.
That sounds terrible.
That sounds. People love it. Andrea for sure loves it. She said that she has, I believe she called, that she's been trying to give clothes to the animals and they refuse to wear pants, and it's disturbing.
I don't want to have a cell phone in a game.
Yeah.
Get away from my real life. I don't want a cell phone in the game.
I don't know. It sounds like they yeah, might have added a few things that I wouldn't enjoy for sure. So Animal Crossing, more animal. We're the number one Tiger King Animal Crossing Prince show on the internet.
Daily Double.
There was a big fire while I was walking around. There was a big fire, not big fire. I should say there was a lot of fire trucks and I could smell smoke. And it was over, right over, what was hilarious to me is that it was literally right around the corner from where the fire department is. So they got in their fire truck and drove right around the corner and then parked it right there.
Very convenient.
Yeah, but it was like there were four fire trucks that came out. So it was them and three
other. You never
know.
Yeah.
It was a ton. And it smelled like burning oil. It didn't smell like a regular fire.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what it was. I don't know.
It's good that they made it.
It was right. They're right next to a gas station, but they weren't going into the gas station. They were going into the condo next door. So, fire.
Daily Double.
Last thing. So, I played the Chicken Tonight thing because I roasted some chicken. And as I was making it, I was thinking about Chicken Tonight. But the way that I did it tonight is I just got chicken thighs and I cleaned them in oil. And then I mixed salt, pepper, adobo, a little bit of adobo, and some other spices, oregano. And then I just tossed the chicken and potatoes in that and baked them. And it came out great. And it was so easy.
It's really good.
And it's one of those things where I was thinking as I was doing it, I was like, oh, yeah, they used to sell the shake and bake. And this is like the same thing. I don't. How much does shake and bake retails for more than 35 cents, you're paying too much.
Yeah.
I don't understand. So
I don't know.
I guess people just don't know how to cook or something.
I don't.
It came out great. That's all I got to say. Chicken. And we have chicken for tomorrow. Like, that's raw and I can do anything with. Anything. We're going to eat the Christmas turkey that I got from work, too, at some point.
Oh, I forgot we still have that?
Yeah, it's frozen.
Wow.
So I'm going to get it out and defrost it. It's still going to be good.
Christmas turkey.
Well, it's been in the freezer. It's fine.
I know. Although, no, it's just it's, a,
and it's been in there less than 15 months.
Labeling
like
labeling it
meat.
As a Christmas.
It was yeah. We got it for Christmas. I don't know what else to call it. Oh, it was Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
It was Thanksgiving. Sorry, wrong holiday. Well, we're going to have it for tax day. So that's the end. Let's get out of here. You're going to watch Terrorist House?
No.
Oh.
Terrorist House.
Terrorist House.
No.
Terrorist House.
No.